Praise the Lord, and message number 161. The title of the message, Suffering, Part 2, Through the Washing of the Feet. Let's open our Bible to the book of John, chapter 13, and let's read verse 1 to verse 17. Here, in this passage, the Lord is washing the feet of his disciples. Let us read it and we will learn from our Lord how we can face suffering and how suffering, if we use it in the right way, handle it in a correct way, will bring glory and ministry and service unto God and to His church and to His people. Let us read John 13, verse 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Verse 7, Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For He knew who was going to betray Him, and that was why He said not everyone was clean. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. Anoint my lips and help me to deliver the message. Let the message be clear and bring teaching and help Your people, Your church to grow. Help each and everyone who passed trial and suffering, that he will find in this message a treatment and a way of life to bring the fruit that desire, even in passing hard time and hardship. O Lord, I do pray that you take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach those who are waiting for this word of yours, and those who are in need of this message. Let this message reach them. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Master. This is all we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We spoke in the first part about suffering, and we spoke about the stages of suffering, and we say that in stage one is when you are called to face certain trial. Ahead of you there is hardship, trial, cross, and you need to pass through. What kind of attitude you should have so that you will have the fruit and you will live a life pleasant unto the Lord and have victory even you are facing a trial. We say that the first things you should accept what God has ordained for you. Right attitude, not to reject, not to grumble, not to make fuss, not try to escape or avoid. That will bring more difficulties for you. What you need to do? You accept it. As the Lord here we find in this passage, he is washing his disciples' feet, and he knows that later on he will be handed over for trial and then to be crucified. Jesus prayed and it confirmed him that is God's will. He accepted the same for you. When you are about to face trial, tell him, Lord, I will do your will. You help me go into life of prayer and full surrendering your will unto God. As Jesus surrendered his will to the Lord, you the same also. The value of a prayer and the value of surrendering your full will unto God, that will help you and lead you, and God will direct you and put in your heart certain things that will help to show and to bring the love of God and God's service to his disciple and his people. Jesus, as he accepted the cross, the Lord lead him not to fight with Judas or with the disciples who were going to leave him, but God lead him. God led him into washing the feet of his apostles, and he further the ministry with that action. When you have the attitude to accept the trial that God ordained for you to stand, then you will go to prayer, kneeling down, surrendering your will to God, and yielding your life and your heart unto him, to be willingly used as a vessel to impart his love to the people who are around you, to his disciples that God had placed in your hand to take care, and to the church and the congregation that God had placed you in. Therefore, when you are about to enter into a stage of suffering, then you can face it with the following important points. The first point is, we're going to speak about love. In John chapter 13, part of verse 1, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Always love is a right attitude toward God and toward the mission of Jesus on earth. And when we have that love, the Lord will lead us to do the right things in facing a trial. That's why the word of Jesus, as we can read in Matthew 22, verse 37-39, say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. As Jesus was motivated by love, the Lord led him to wash the apostles' feet, and thus service and ministry until this day. We are learning and we are applying, we are reaping that graceful action of Jesus that till this day we feel and receive His love. The second point here is, when you face trial and about to enter trial and suffering, do your best to act and not to react. In verse 2, we can read that the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. You know, even a person was sitting with him on the table, but Jesus did not retaliate and did not think to go and harm Judas. Instead, he did the washing of the feet. He washed his apostles' feet. Somebody else, he will go before dinner, he will go and fight with Judas. Why are you doing like that? Sometimes we behave in this way. We go into the flesh. We react. We should not. That will block our service and will make our suffering more. What Jesus did, instead, he was filled with God's love to still offer service unto God and unto the disciples, and even to Judas, who was about to betray him. You need to think not to harm, but to do something that will bring God's love and service to others around you and to the people under your care and ministry. You need to overcome anger. You need to act and not to react. And for this reason, you need to overcome anger. In Psalm 39, verse 1 to 3, David said, I said, I will wash my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. David is controlling himself. And you need self-control. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. David, he was about to be burst out. He was about to vent out his anger, because the wicked were around him, and Jesus on the table, Judas was around him. He was a wicked man, and you might be among the people who are wicked, but you should not react, you should not be motivated or moved by anger. What David did when he was about to burst with anger in verse 4, show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. David did not burst and fight with people, but he poured out all his soul before the Lord. Jesus did not go and fight with Judas. Do also the same with the people who attacked you. Have self-control, pray for them, and be patient and wait upon God to handle them and vindicate you and give you back what is due for you. In Psalm 37, verse 1, it say, the word of God, do not fret, do not be envious because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. People do wrong, harm you, they sin, you do not react. Verse 7, from the same Psalm, be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked scheme, refrain from anger, and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. It will not help, it will harm. It will harm you and bring more harm to the people who are around you. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. You need to have patience, self-control, refrain from anger. God will deal with those betrayal. God, as He have dealt with Judah, God will deal with your enemies. You need to keep still and need to be calm, prayerful, fully surrendering your life and will to God, so He will lead you to take the right action that will bring a glory to God. The third point, how to face suffering or how to prepare yourself to go into trial, and how you become a blessing to others and washing their feet and become a beneficial person to the rest of those who are around you, whom God had called you to take care of them. This point is about understanding. In verse 3, we can read that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power. Are you realizing what are the great things, the privilege that the Lord had placed under your hand and under your power and under your authority, and that He had come from God and was returning to God? Jesus knew that from where He came and where He is going. You know from where God had taken you, and you know very well where God is bringing you to heaven. So do everything with understanding. You should be willing to be mature, committed your life and will unto God, because you are moving to heaven. You must also understand that God had called you, and you are the person that God relied upon. You should not react and overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Prayerfully consider what God is leading you to do. The Lord will help you and will guide you to take the right decision and the right step to be a blessing to the people who are around you. In verse 4, John 13, verse 4, beginning of verse 4, so He got up from the meal. He was on the table. Table was full of food, was full of delicious things, was full of nice food, nice dinner, but Jesus willingly, He got up, He left the food to offer service unto God. What God is leading you to do, humble down and do it willingly as Jesus did. He humbled Himself and accepted the cross, and no one forced Him. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He humbled Himself. The same for you. No need that somebody will force you to do certain things, as the Holy Spirit lead you, as the Word of God instructed you and guiding you. You need to leave certain things. If you want to serve God, you need to leave tables, you need to leave feast, nice food, invitations, parties, titles, post, position. If you want to serve God, you need to take the right decision. The choice is in your hand to get up from tables and join the service and the ministry unto God. To serve God, you need to leave certain things. You need to move outside. You need to move outside your comfort zone. Otherwise, you cannot serve the Lord. You cannot bring the service and the ministry to the effectiveness and fruitfulness unless you are willing to put aside privileges, prestige, and position, and willing to suffer for God and to be used as a channel of a blessing to convey God's love to others. The Holy Spirit does not reside on tables or food or feast, but in suffering and willingness to put aside what is your right and due in order to bring God's love to others. The Holy Spirit will be there with you, comforting you and filling you with joy, and make the mission of Jesus and the suffering that He had ordained for you to pass through become feasible and manageable. Be willing to leave your riches and whatever privilege you have, and be willing to humble down in order to reach people who are in position less than you. Don't be ambition to reach those who are rich, but let be your ambition that to reach those who are less in position than you. In book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 16 say, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, do not be conceited. One of the point and the thing that make suffering easy and manageable, when you are willing to humble down and go and associate with people who are less than you, the Lord will reward you for each and every decision that you get up from the privileges and move and go to the lower level, holding the feet, pouring water, rubbing it by your hand to cleanse it and to wipe it and to refresh the people who had given their feet unto you. You will be a blessing to others. Washing of the feet, it means dealing with dirt, with dust and mud that hidden between toes, and it means cleansing of area that is dirty, using our hand to rub and water to clean. Washing of the feet is offering service to clean people from sin, sanctification. Using hand means praying and laying on hands that will bring healing to the wounds of the people. How we wash the feet? We put our hand and we rub it. We lay hand on people. We pray for them. We put our hands in their wounds, their spiritual wounds, their souls will get injured. We lay hands on them. We comfort them. We embrace them. We share in their suffering and share in the suffering of Christ to bring relief to them. Laying on hands bring refreshment, comfort. As those who travel a journey, when they come home, they will wash, they will take up their sandals or shoes and socks, and they will put their feet in the water to get refreshed. Laying on hands means also casting out demons that reside in people who gave footholds for them to live in. You must be discerning in your service. Washing of the feet is a tactful work, need discernment, and as you are willing to suffer and willing to move the comfort zone, the God will give you, the Lord God will give you discernment how to direct your service to bring God's love and His blessing into other people's life. You must know that your love to the lost and your service will help the people to get delivered, not only from sins, but from demons, bondages, and their wounds, and their stripes, and their hurt will enter into a process of healing, spiritual and even physical, as you are used by the Lord as a channel of a blessing to them. The water that we use for washing of the feet is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26 about Christ and how He treats His church to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. How we wash the people's feet spiritually, we use the word of God. Use the word of God to counsel the people. The word of God brings healing. He sends His word and He heals them and He delivers them from death. The word of God is a medicine. But you must be careful about certain things. You must be, as we say, that you must be discerning, to discern what kind of help or message or service you need to offer to the people so they will be comforted. Sometimes when you apply medicine on a wound, it may cause pain. So we need to be careful how to apply the word of God, and we need to apply gently to the people's life. Washing of the feet brings refreshment to those who have traveled a long journey. And also, when there is wound and we wash the wound, the contact of the water or the soap or our hands on wounds also bring pain. When we put the word of God, when we counsel the people, we need to use the word of God gently, tactfully, so that they will accept the message and they will not have hurt, and we will not be the reason for them to be hurt and move away from God and from us. We are called to bring the word of God and the message that will bring joy, hope, restoration, and awareness. We must help the people to see the good plans that the Lord had for them. When the Lord was washing the disciples' feet, He treated the 12 of them in the same way. He did not neglect Judas, or He excluded him. The Lord gave him a chance to repent. The same for you. You need to do your part and show God's love to everyone whom God had put under your care. Even to people who hurt you, you need to do your part and to leave the rest for God to be the one to handle those people like Judas, either treat them to repentance or whatever His will, whatever His plan for them, whatever what He had decided to do for them, leave it for the Lord. When you suffer, don't retaliate, don't fight, do your part. And also do your part in a perfect way. When Jesus washed the people's feet, after that He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Why he dried them with a towel, so that when they will walk again, if the feet are still wet, they will attract dirt. So He dried them well. The point here, even while we are suffering, even while you are suffering in a trial, God had called you to do your ministry in a perfect and complete way. That is how to make our suffering and your suffering for Christ more fruitful and effective. One more point we want to emphasize here. When the Lord approached Peter to wash his feet, Peter did not understand the meaning of it. When the Lord explained it to him that he need to give his feet to be washed. We can read that in verse 6 and 7 and 8. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." We can see that Peter did not understand, but Jesus put him away, and we know that Peter later on accepted. In addition to that discussion with the Lord and Peter, there is also the scene that the other disciple might not understood fully what he was doing. Even as he told them in verse 12, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" It means that there was some doubt in their mind. The point we need to emphasize that the people or disciples who are under our care or under your care may not grasp or understand what you are saying or doing. For that reason, we need to be patient and considerate till they are mature and can digest the word of God and can understand our actions. I'm not saying here that you need to be considerate with Judas. No, you need to be considerate with people who cannot grasp what you are saying, or they cannot explain your actions and deed. With such people, you need to persevere in suffering. Explain to them again and again, gently. Paul, he said to the Thessalonians, I was among you like a nursing mother. I was a gentle like a nursing mother. So we need to be gentle. We are washing the feet. We are rubbing the dirt, dealing with sin gently so that pain and hurt would not be inflicted. We are called to bring comfort to the people. When we do our ministry in this way, we need more patience, more gentleness, more self-control, more perseverance, and that will bring more fruit, dramatic results in the life of the people that God had trusted under our care. One more point about service and ministry and willingness to suffer, and about washing of the feet. When Peter realized the importance of washing of the feet, what he said to the Lord in verse 9, "Then Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." He told him, "Not only my feet, Lord." When the Lord told him, "You will not have part in me if I am not going to wash your feet," he said to him, "Not only my feet, my hands and my head." But what was the reply of Jesus to him? In verse 10, he said to him, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean." From the answer of Jesus, we can conclude certain things. I'm speaking to you as a worker. I'm speaking about all of us as a church, and I'm speaking about churches in general. We or you or churches or the church should not do anything unnecessarily and waste resources without contributing anything to the real people's need. The Lord can wash the head and the hands of Peter, but of no use. He does not need that. Same way, churches nowadays have many activities and programs, but the main need and people's sin and suffering is not dealt with or met. You or the church or all of us, we should be discerning and act tactfully, not to give any silly showers, but wash the feet and clean the dirty parts. You know, when people go to church and no one knows their life and no one knows what is their problem, they are just giving showers. But washing the feet, dealing with wounds and dirt and rubbing and applying the word of God and counseling is the real ministry. Don't be discouraged. They will tell you how many people. Tell them with you when they will tell you how many people. Why not much? Tell them we are not giving showers, but we are cleaning their feet of the disciples. That's why we need time to concentrate. The other point, you and we as a church and the churches and the workers of the Lord, we should have the courage and willingness to suffer in order to meet the need of the people and help them and deliver them, and not to miss and not to miss of dealing with wounds and hurt and sin, using the word of God to clean and to bring healing. You know, if you do many things but you don't touch the sin of the people, you are not washing the feet. You are doing unnecessary things. Washing of the feet is necessarily. You must give to every member, to every worker, what he really needs, not other things. Some people, and I pray that you should not be among them, they avoid to handle or to face what people does not like to be touched. But that will not bring the ministry into where the Holy Spirit had ordained for it. God got us to suffer. One of the suffering is to face people, to wash their feet, to apply the word of God to the area that need to be cleansed. Speaking about washing of the feet is doing something that causes you suffering. Don't avoid it. If you avoid it, you will not have fruit in the ministry. Speaking more about washing of the feet, about suffering, we are called to move away from the comfort zone and privileges and suffer for the sake that others will get the benefit of knowing Christ and following Him. Most of the time, washing of the feet and your service and your suffering might not be recognized by others or might not be appreciated by others, but that should not be a discouragement factor for you. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 15, it says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. In verse 22 to verse 24, say, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat them with a special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with a special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it. You have a great ministry. Might be others having a bigger ministry, or might be comparing yourself with other people who have a greater achievement. But the fact here, what you are doing and the service that you are giving, others cannot do. They have other ministry. You have your precious ministry. Concentrate on it. Don't concentrate on people not recognizing you or no one appreciating you or no one is rewarding you. Your reward is from God. No one can reward even myself. I cannot reward anyone. Even I myself, I cannot reward myself if the Lord will not come and reward me. In Isaiah 49 verse 4, I just want to encourage you to be willing to suffer and continue to go on leaving the comfort zone and getting up from tables and titles and position and go down where the Holy Spirit is leading you to help people who are in suffering, to bring them out of pain and let them live a joyful life. Here the Holy Spirit is with you to do that. Isaiah 49 verse 4, I want to encourage you, but I said I have labored to no purpose. You may say, for what I am suffering like that? Other have easy ministry. I am suffering. I am giving more. No. You should not say, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet, what is it you, me, is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. Realize that. Your reward is from God. And what is due for you is in the hand of the Lord. No one can reward you for your service. Those who ignore you and not appreciate you, even it is not in their hand to reward you. Even they cannot reward themselves. God will reward you for your labor, and He will reward everyone according to what He had done. Therefore, go forward and serve Him. Leave the comfort zone and get up from the tables and title that does not bring glory to God, and go led by the Spirit and instructed by His word to reach the people who are wounded, who are injured, and help them with God's word and extend your hands to them. Serve them and wash their feet and encourage them to go on and willing to follow the good a plan that the Lord had ordained for them. As you are encouraged, encourage others and say to them, Isaiah 35 verse 4, say to those with fearful hearts, as you are encouraged, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. I pray that this message will bring you to the right track and encourage you to go on and serve God. Let's kneel down and pray. Lord, we thank you. I praise you. We adore you. Thank you for your word that refresh me and revive me and bring me strength and joy and gladness. Lord, I surrender my life and will. I pray you help me. I'm going on. I'm getting up, leaving the worldly things, the pleasures, the titles and position, and things that will not add to me the things that you want to see in my life. Lord, take me. I am moving with you to areas where people are waiting to be helped. Lord, I am willing to show them your love. Give me gentleness. Give me understanding, discernment. Oh Lord, give me tactfulness. Lord, give me self-control. I control myself, Lord. I will do the action and the things that you ordained for me. Oh God, I want to commit my life fully unto you to serve you and be a blessing to others. Lord, I pray for those who surrender their life and will unto you and willing. Uphold them with your grace and use them, Lord, mightily, effectively for your glory. Oh God, bless us, oh Lord. Enlarge our territory, O God. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, Amen and Amen.